Could Hawaii's clean energy goals become the nation's? That's the ambitious intention of H.R. 3671, the Off Fossil Fuels for a Better Future Act that Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard has introduced in Congress. Among its more ambitious provisions, a requirement that 80% of new vehicle sales be zero emission by 2027, and that no federal permits for new major fossil fuel projects be issued after the 1st of January. Representative Gabbard is on the phone with us to talk about the measure and its chances in today's political climate. Good morning, Representative Gabbard.
Aloha, Chris. Wonderful to talk to you.
Well, thanks for taking the time. I suppose the first question would be, as I said, it's a pretty polarized political climate and an issue that might, in a different age, be nonpartisan, tends to fall along partisan lines. Does it seem that way to you?
Well, Chris, it is unfortunate that the idea of protecting our environment and preserving our natural resources is a partisan issue, and it's unfortunate that really no serious action has been taken in this regard nationally to this point, which is really what led to the introduction of this bill. Taking inspiration from the legislation and the great and aggressive goals that were passed in Hawaii, we felt strongly that this needed to be done at the national level. Is it going to be easy? No, absolutely not. Unfortunately, this issue has become polarizing, but this gives us the opportunity to be able to engage members of Congress, to be able to talk with and engage with people all across the country in actually moving forward, in pushing this issue, and in really holding leaders accountable for the effects of climate change that we're already seeing today, and why it's important to take action now for generations to come.
Well, in the language of the measure, you refer in a number of occasions to scientific findings that, climate change is affirmed by, the great majority of scientific experts. And yet, somehow science itself has become politicized. What do you think made that happen?
Again, unfortunately, when these issues are used as political footballs and kind of turned into these partisan games, the heart of the issue is lost. And so you can talk about the science and the data and the facts that have been proven, but what I have found really makes a difference and resonates with people is when you just break it down to something that's common to everyone, no matter what part of the country you live in. Families in the South, the North, the East, or the West are concerned about making sure their kids have a good future, a good and safe, secure community to live in, a good education. And so when we connect these issues about how our environment and climate change directly impact that common desire that people have, then I think we're able to talk at a more personal level, and it takes it kind of out of the what may be out of reach for some in the scientific realm and just say, hey, this is actually about real life and the things that are basic to all of our lives' existence here on this planet.
There are a number of references in the bill to communities that are affected in one way or another by proximity to fossil fuels, by pollution, and in some ways what you're discussing it as a health issue.
It is a health issue, and we had a press conference on this bill a few weeks ago, and Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who represents Oakland in California, but who grew up in Texas in El Paso, talked about her own personal story and her family who grew up in proximity to a fossil fuels plant and the devastating impact to her own family's health just in the place that they grew up. And unfortunately, we see in many parts of the country that the fossil fuel industry have bases and are in places that are often disproportionately negatively affecting people of color, indigenous communities, and underserved struggling communities. So that impact is something that is in addition to the environmental impact.
By making it a public health issue, you would you would certainly think that public health would cross partisan lines, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this is breaking it down to what is the very real impact, both on people's lives today, their families, the impact that has been growing over decades, as well as the longer-term impact if we continue to travel down this road where we're so addicted and so dependent on fossil fuels, rather than really recognizing, hey, there's a great opportunity for us as a country, both environmentally as well as economically, to leverage technology and transition off of fossil fuels and towards clean and renewable energy sources.
I'm just wondering how you meet the communications challenge that is involved in all this. You know, it's almost a tectonic shift in the direction the country is taking. How do you bring about something like that? As you said, it's an addiction.
It is a tectonic shift, and it's one that needs to take place. You know, our country has gone through very big, different industrial changes and shifts in the past, and I think this is one of those moments. We have over 400 different environmental groups and different social justice groups and others who have mobilized behind this bill from all across the country because they get it and they get why it's important. So this is how these big changes can occur, is when people at the grassroots, people in communities, start sharing stories with their neighbors, talking story about this bill and why it's important and why we start making these changes, yes, nationally, as well as locally, as we've seen and actually done in Hawaii. So it's easy for some to say, hey, well, this change is just too big to make, or it's not possible. But we're seeing, again, Hawaii's a wonderful example of how maybe 10 or 20 years ago people would have thought it impossible for Hawaii to make as much progress as we have and as quick as we have. So it's a great example to point to as we're having these discussions, saying, look, it's already happening in certain communities like ours in Hawaii. We need to make it happen all across the country.
There are a number of areas in which Hawaii can almost serve as a test lab, because it's kind of just the right size to make change and allow it to be studied within the course of a lifetime, yeah?
Yes, no question. And it's a great opportunity to be able to talk about Hawaii with other members of Congress, with different constituencies from other places, and have them look to Hawaii, have them come and visit Hawaii, have them learn more about the things that we've been able to do right, you know, the lessons that we've learned along the way, and how places like Kauai, for example. I love using Kauai as an example because their KIUC, their energy co-op, has really taken the bull by the horns, mm-hmm. and have already far exceeded both the statewide goals, but the goals that they set for themselves on the county of Kauai.
Well, it would seem that this bill rises and falls on a communications effort then. You have to really get the word out nationwide and to your fellow legislators, yeah?
That's right. And it, like any other piece of legislation, it really does come down to being able to share and talk about why this legislation is important for everyone, not just for one section of the country versus another, but why it's important for everyone to recognize that preserving and protecting our environment is really a matter of humanity and taking care of our planet, not about red states or blue states or Democrats or Republicans. And that's where I have hope in our efforts, because this is something that we can and should all agree on.
Representative, let me shift gears real quick. We've got a couple of minutes left. I know you're coming home for Veterans Day, and I wanted to ask you, as a veteran, what's your wish list for America's veterans?
The list itself is long, Chris.
I imagine, yeah.
Unfortunately, there's still so much work that needs to be done to make sure that our nation is repaying its debt to our service members and veterans by providing them with the good quality care and benefits that they've earned through their service. You know, I saw and experienced firsthand the cost of war through my two deployments to the Middle East, and you know, my wish, if you ask what my wish is that leaders in Congress would take seriously the cost of war and not continue the same devastating track record of interventionist regime change wars that our country has had for far too long that have cost our country deeply in lives, both American lives and the lives of people in these countries, as well as cost us tremendously financially. And that's where, when you look at the trillions of dollars that we've spent on these interventionist wars just since 9/11 alone, and you think about what we could do with those resources, what we could do with those trillions of dollars, just looking at our basic infrastructure needs in Hawaii, for example, there is so much that could be done. Looking at our needs in education, looking at our needs in healthcare, looking at our needs in further advancing renewable energy and clean energy. So this is my wish and my hope and what I'm working towards here in Congress.
That's yet another one of those tectonic shifts we were talking about, Representative. I wish you luck.
It is, and it's long overdue.
Thanks very much for talking with us this morning.
Aloha, Chris. Great to talk with you.
Bye-bye. Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard represents Hawaii's 2nd Congressional District, which includes Kauai, Maui, and Hawaii counties, as well as Windward, Leeward, and North Shore portions of Oahu. You can find a link to the Off Fossil Fuels for a Better Future Act on today's edition of the Conversation Podcast.